Good evening. And welcome to Bethany this morning. You get used to saying one thing. Welcome to Bethany this evening. And we are glad that you are here with us in our Christmas Eve service. Welcome, everyone. My name is Jared, and I'm the pastor here at Bethany. And we are glad that you are worshiping with us tonight. Just want to take a few moments to do some housekeeping things before we get started and to remind you of a few things. One is that there are two offering plates in the back on the heater registers so that as you exit, feel free, but no obligation, to put something in the plate. We will not be passing the plate during the service. Two, everybody should have a candle, hopefully, for our candlelight portion of the service. If you don't, please raise your hand and we'll get you one, but it looks like we're good. Just a friendly reminder, when you go to light candle, the unlit candle does the moving. Don't tip the lit candle, because then you get wax everywhere, you light yourself on fire. Things like that happen, which is typically not what we want to happen on a service. I think that is it for our housekeeping notes this evening. And I want to just welcome you again and invite you to take a moment to calm, to sit. We enter into worship tonight to rejoice in the birth of our Savior, to mark the coming of Christ our King. Tonight is a service of lessons and carols. I will be reading scriptures that take us from sin and brokenness to the redemption of Christ. We'll be mixing song in there that tie in with those scripture passages and the themes, but we will move from one scripture to the next and into the songs. I will announce the songs as we journey through. I invite you to listen to these scriptures, hear them. Maybe some are very familiar, some are not so familiar. But they are the story that we celebrate, tracing the movement of God from the very beginning of the Bible to Jesus' coming. And as we begin, we return to our Advent wreath. Over the past 4 weeks, we have journeyed Sunday through Sunday, marking God's movement. We started the first Sunday of Advent, remembering our brokenness, remembering the ways that God feels distant, feels far from us. Our sin, our despair. We move to the second Sunday of Advent with the promise that God will do something, that God will move, that God will rebuild and restore and renew, that God's hope is present each and every day. On the third Sunday of Advent, we remark that our joy in Christ, in God, is our true home, that what enlivens us and what brings us hope is what God has done and will do and will continue to do. And this morning, we told the story of Mary and her willingness to say yes to the remarkable, crazy, far out notion that God was using her to do something special, to do something big. And tonight, we light the center candle. God has come. Christ has come. God dwells and lives with us. Let us celebrate and rejoice in this. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this night, we come to meet you. We come to experience your presence, your story, your movement throughout history, in our lives, in the lives of those who have gone before us, in the lives of this church. Lord, you are an awesome and powerful God who comes in the form of a baby. We rejoice tonight, Lord. We give thanks for this, your gift to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first lesson this evening comes from Genesis, chapter 3, verses 8 through 15, 17 through 19. Hear these words from the book of Genesis. During that day's cool evening breeze, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the Lord God in the middle of the garden's trees. The Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" The man replied, "I heard your sound in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you gave me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate." The Lord God said to the woman, "What have you done?" And the woman said, "The snake tricked me and I ate." The Lord God said to the snake, "Because you did this, you are the one cursed out of all the farm animals, out of all the wild animals. On your belly you will crawl, and dust you will eat every day of your life. I will put contempt between you and the woman, between you and her offspring. They will strike your head, but you will strike at their heels." To the man he said, "Because you listened to your wife's voice, and you ate from the tree that I commanded, don't eat from it. Cursed is the fertile land because of you. In pain you will eat from it every day of your life. Weeds and thistles will grow for you. Even as you eat the field's plants, by the sweat of your face you will eat bread, until you return to the fertile land. Since from it you were taken, you are soil. To soil you will return." Our second lesson comes from Genesis 22, 15 through 18. The Lord's messenger called out to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I give you my word as the Lord that because you did this and didn't hold back your son, your only son, I will bless you richly and I will give you countless descendants, as many as the stars in the sky and as the grains of sand on the seashore. They will conquer their enemies' cities. All the nations of the earth will be blessed because of your descendants, because you obeyed me." These lessons remind us of sin and brokenness. They remind us of the ways that we have fallen short, but they remind us that God is making a way. Let us join together in singing, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel," number 542.
Come, O come, Emmanuel.
Please be seated. Our third lesson comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 2, and verses 6 through 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in a pitch dark land, light has dawned. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be vast authority and endless peace for David's throne and for his kingdom, establishing and sustaining it with justice and righteousness now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of heavenly forces will do this. Our fourth lesson. Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 4 and 6 through 9. A shoot will grow up from the stump of Jesse. A branch will sprout from his roots. The Lord's Spirit will rest upon him. A spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of planning and strength, a spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. He will delight in fearing the Lord. He won't judge by appearances, nor decide by hearsay. He will judge the needy with righteousness and decide with equity for those who suffer in the land. He will strike the violent with the rod of his mouth, by the breath of his lips. He will kill the wicked. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion will feed together, and a little child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together. And a lion will eat straw like an ox. A nursing child will play over the snake's hole. Toddlers will reach right over the serpent's den. They won't harm or destroy anywhere on my holy mountain. The earth will surely be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, just as the water covers the sea. These lessons remind us that despite the pain, despite brokenness, despite everything that seems wrong in the world, God has a vision. God has a plan. God is in control and is working to bring restoration. Is working to bring a radical vision of a new world, of a new life, centered and grounded in Him. Let us sing together, O Little Town of Bethlehem, number 541. Of all the years are met in me. Please be seated. The fifth lesson comes from Luke 26 through 35 and verse 38. When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son. And you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever. And there will be no end to his kingdom." Then Mary said to the angel, "How will this happen, since I am still a virgin?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son." Then Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me, just as you have said." Then the angel left her. Lesson number 6, Luke 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in the tax list. The first enrollment occurred when Quirinius governed Syria. Everyone went to their own cities to be enrolled, and since Joseph belonged to David's house and family line, he went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city, called Bethlehem, in Judea. He went to be enrolled together with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage and who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son, wrapped him snugly and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the guest room. To be Mary, to be called upon by the angel, favored one. A far old prophecy come to life. The promise of God, which seems so distant, so out there, so removed from everyday life, greets Mary. Comes to her in the form of an angel, God's messenger, declaring that Mary, you have been chosen. You have been chosen to bear God's Son. You have been chosen to make things right, to participate in God's work. The King of a universe, of the universe, born as a child, as a crying baby, wrapped snugly and laid in a manger with cows and sheep and sorts of smells and things that are not typically found in a delivery room. But this is our King. This is who we worship. This is who is born for us tonight. Let us join together in singing number 538, the First Noel. Please be seated. The seventh lesson comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. Nearby shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them. The Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring you good news, wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great assembly of the heavenly forces was with the angels praising God. They said, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let us go right to Bethlehem and see what's happened. Let's confirm what the Lord has revealed to us." They went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. The eighth lesson comes from Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the territory of Judea, during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judea, by no means are the least among the rulers of Judea. Because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went and looked. The star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Two very different groups of people come to praise and honor Jesus. Shepherds from the fields. Not exactly who you think God's first call would be to in the birth of his son. Foreigners from the east, not the wise men of Jerusalem, not the people in power, not the religious leaders, not the people who should be in the know. Shepherds, magi, falling to their knees, rejoicing, praising God that their Savior has come. Giving and coming with whatever and whoever they are, the shepherds go forth and proclaim and rejoice to all. They confirm and they spread the news. The Magi come, fall on their knees, and present treasures and gifts. How do we come tonight? How do we come before our Savior? How do we come this Christmas Eve to worship together? Do we come ready to sing praises? Do we come ready to fall at the knees or fall at the feet of our Savior? Or do we come out of habit? Out of it's what we do. Do we come ready to worship? Let us sing together, We Three Kings, number 539. Thank you. Please be seated. Our final lesson comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not extinguish the light. A man named John was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him everyone would believe in the light. He himself wasn't the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light. But the world didn't recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood, nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Hear verse 14 again. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. We come celebrating the light born into a dark world. But darkness does not overcome light. Darkness does not extinguish it. We proclaim tonight the joy, the truth, that Christ has come, that the Son of God, that God himself becomes flesh, makes his home among us, moves into the neighborhood, sets up a tent, builds a house, and comes here to meet each and every one of us. This is what we worship. This is what we sing about. This is what we rejoice in tonight. That God has come. The creator of the universe. The author and perfecter of life. God, Emmanuel, with us here, now, in this place, and in every moment of every day. That is good news. That is good news that wipes away the sin and sadness, that pushes aside the darkness, that proclaims release to the captives, freedom and joy. That happens tonight. That is why we gather. That is why we worship. That is why we are here. We take these candles, we light them. We, each one of us, become a small part of a larger light. Proclaim with boldness that in the midst of darkness, that in the midst of pain, in the midst of suffering, that we have something to say, that God has something to say. the candle, the light that we put off is the beginning. Is the beginning of what God is doing through Jesus. And it is something amazing. It is something wonderful and something that we rejoice in. So I invite you that as we prepare to sing Silent Night, Holy Night, number 530, that you grab your candles. The people on the aisles, somebody will come along to light your candle and then pass it down the aisle. Remember, unlit to lit. It's a beautiful moment when we do a candlelight service. It's a beautiful moment, all of our candles together as we sing Silent Night. But let us not forget the profound significance of light against darkness, of light in proclaiming God's love to each and everyone we meet, and to us tonight as we gather here. So let us stand together. And let us join in singing Silent Night, Holy Night. The journey does not end here. The journey begins with Jesus' birth and continues as Jesus journeys. And so I invite you to continue that journey with us, that we meet for worship on Sunday. Continue to learn about the light and about God's gift to all of us in Jesus, his Son. Go in the peace and joy of our Savior's birth. Amen.